Hello.
This call is being recorded.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Fine. I'm trying to get connected to the internet at Three Kings, but it's not letting me.
Oh.
So work in progress.
Do they have open Wi-Fi?
They do. For whatever reason, it's just not connecting right this second. I remember the first couple questions, so I'll get those going. Plus, I can look at the email I sent her from my phone in the event it does not work.
Okay. You are prepared. Let me pull it up. I'm not as prepared. Okay. Oral history question. Okay, so you wanted to start off with the, can you state your name, occupation, tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'll start with all of that.
Okay, and so I'll answer and be like, hi, this is Katie from UMSL, and then I'll say we're recording now.
Okay. Yeah, that works for me.
Cool, I'm going to call now.
Okay.
Let's hope it works. Okay, we are all now recording.
Hello. Hi, Sheila. Hi, Sheila. This is Tori. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I've got Katie on the line as well. She's also a graduate student at UMSL working on this same project. So I just wanted to introduce her real quick.
Hi.
Hi.
Alrighty, well, we'll go ahead and get started. I hope everything's okay with your family now. I know you said you had some stuff with your family come up yesterday, so hopefully everything's okay now.
Yes, my nephew got arrested, but he's fine.
Well, I'm glad he's better. So we'll go ahead and get started. So just to jump right in, can you go ahead and state your name, your occupation, and then just tell us a little bit about yourself to start off with, please?
My name is Sheila Rendon. I'm a housewife. I've lived in St. Louis Place neighborhood all my life. I'm 49 years old, and excuse me. In 2016, it was decided that St. Louis Place would be the new home for the National Geospatial Agency, which is currently in the Marine Villa neighborhood of St. Louis City. So, my husband and I and my kids, we were eminent domain out of our home.
I'm sorry to hear that. You said you grew up in St. Louis Place all your life, so you were raised there and you've raised your children there as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How far did you have to move from the house you were living in to the new house once the NGA kind of took over that space?
Oh, thankfully, my neighbors were very compassionate to my plight. My children were students in the Parkway School District, and the feeder system that they were in required them to stay in a certain boundary of the St. Louis City neighborhood. So we couldn't go south of Shodo, we couldn't go north of Natural Bridge, we couldn't go west of Vandeventer, and of course, you know, east would be the river boundary. So we only moved four blocks east on 19th Street from 23rd Street.
Okay, so it sounds
so
like
we stayed in
you
the
said you're
St. Louis Place neighborhood.
Well, that's good, especially since you grew up there and you've been raising your children there. So that's nice at least. Can you tell me a little bit about your family and what your childhood was like growing up in St. Louis Place?
Sure. My mom and dad and my grandparents, they lived in the 2200 block Carr Street, which is just to the south of here in the DeSoto Carr neighborhood. If you can jump over the Pruitt-Igoe site, you'll be on Carr Street. And they lived there for nearly 25 years. And my grandparents first, and then my parents got married, and they lived there with my older siblings. And this neighborhood, St. Louis Place, was mostly Polish-Italian neighborhood. So when the former residents started to move, the Catholic Church, which my parents and grandparents belonged to, St. Bridget of Aaron, started to assume some of the property. So the priest that was spearheading the property get the congregants out of apartments, and at that time, Port Ago was a thing, it was 1960s. Monsignor John Shockley, I think he was not a Monsignor at the time, just a priest. He started to ask any of the people who were members of the church if they wanted to live, have home ownership, and live in the neighborhood adjacent to the church, stay in the church boundary. So my grandmother, they decided to come over here, and it was the first time that they'd been over here because it was like, it was a pretty segregated area. As I was told by some of the older people my mom and dad's age, if you were not like a domestic worker, you could not come over here. So I guess caste was the boundary. So they and moved my brothers and sisters, my grandparents and my parents, they all moved over here in 1963. And I was born in 1972. So I was not aware of anything but this neighborhood. By the time I was born, the neighborhood was demographically changed. There were very few white families. The majority of the families were Black Catholic families. We all went to school at Central Catholic, which was connected to St. Bridget Church, and were members of the church. So my dad worked at McDonnell Douglas, which is now Boeing, and my mom was a housewife. And she and my grandfather and a lot of other people in the neighborhood, they did their best to maintain and keep the neighborhood as they could remember it. This was around about the 1980s, the neighborhood started to fail around us, and we could see that people were leaving. A lot of families were moving to the county, North Northwoods, Jennings, Blackjack in some cases, and people decided that, you know, by that time they were invested. They had finished paying their mortgages off, and they didn't want to leave, so my family stayed. My dad retired from McDonnell Douglas in 1994, and in 1994, I became a police officer in the city of St. Louis, so I moved out, and 95, my father got diagnosed with cancer, and he died in 1996. And my mother, she died in 1998. So my husband and I, we returned to the neighborhood, and we started to rebuild. And there were still some people here that my childhood, but a lot of people that left. But they were inspired by what we were doing. So people started to, you know, actually think differently of the neighborhood. It wasn't like a place that you were stuck living in. It was a place that you wanted to live in. So people started to, you know, make arrangements to have their homes repaired or take loans out to repair their homes. And then after 20 years, the city came after us with this NGA project. But prior to that, I think maybe about 2000, there was a discussion about making a golf course in the neighborhood that would wipe out our portion of St. Louis Place. And then there was talk about dog track that will wipe out. There was always something that was going to wipe out the top quarter, southwest corner of St. Louis Place. We were always a target.
Sounds like you have a really rich connected history to the neighborhood, and it's such a shame that you brought up the targeting and how there's just, I don't even know what to say, just always on your mind.
The fact that the demographic was older and poor and relatively older, sick people, they used that as a reason to get rid of that part of the neighborhood. But these were people who worked and retired. Of course, they were older, and they were poor because they were on fixed income. They skewered the demographic information to make it seem like it would be a better thing for the city of St. Louis to get rid of these people.
Sure, and that shouldn't make anyone a target or mm-hmm. used against them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. But you were talking about your history in St. Louis, or in the St. Louis Place, and we were wondering, when we say the phrase St. Louis Place, what does that really mean to you?
It's my village. I mean, there are times when I look at the news and all the terrible things that happen in the city, and I guess more recently it's just the St. Louis area as a whole. Now, you know, the truth is being told that crime is everywhere. But when they talk about the city, it just does not ring true here. I mean, we have issues. There was someone that either overdosed or was hit by a car or something. Didn't know it was yesterday. And there were so many sirens in the neighborhood, and people have just gotten used to hearing sirens. But when one of my neighbors said that someone was killed on 20th Street, it just came as a shock to me because we hear sirens all the time. So very comfortable here. And we don't feel like, you know, this is when the news talks about the city. We don't feel like that's us. We feel very safe here. We feel like we are part of a whole. You know, there are no strangers here. We self-police. We've watched children grow. We mourn together when someone passes. We just feel one.
That sounds wonderful, and I like that you use the term village to kind of describe that St. Louis Place as kind of where you feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
From your experience and the community you feel that you're a part of in St. Louis Place, how do you feel like that compares to other local communities in St. Louis? I know you mentioned Pruitt-Igoe earlier. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like those compare?
Well, Loft District was in it, and that was a artist community, and people looked out for each other, and, you know, whenever someone was in need, there was always someone to help. And then for a short period of time, I lived in the Oak Hill neighborhood. Now it's called Tower Grove South. And there was a huge disconnect. I mean, people used their back doors to go into their homes. Nobody talked to each other. You know, people didn't know that there was even a police officer on the block until there was an incident that I was on my back porch and I'm fighting on my front, and someone knocked on the door and asked if I could help them, if I could call the police for them, and I told them that I was a police. But here, everyone knows everyone. So, you know, we have a police officer on our block. We have a firefighter on our block. We have a retired street department worker on our block. We have teachers and you know, everybody knows that if there is a need for something to be fixed, they can always come over here and ask husbands. In the wintertime, when pipes were bursting everywhere, our phone was ringing off, and everybody knew that Gustavo could fix it. So it feels like this is something that, you know, is probably a more of a Norman Rockwell kind of neighborhood where, you know, it's very Americana-ish, but, you know, we enjoy it. We'd rather have it this way than to be so disconnected that you don't even know your neighbor.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, Sheila, what was your experience like raising children in St. Louis Place with everyone so connected to each other?
Oh, it was great because my kids went to school in Baldwin. There was always someone looking out for them when they came home from school. They had to catch the bus early in the morning sometimes, depending on their level of grade. In elementary school, the bus came at like 6:30. Middle school, 6. By the time they were in high school, the buses were coming at 5:30 in the morning. But there was always someone looking out for us while we were standing on the bus waiting, on the bus stop waiting for the bus. Waiting, watching out, because there's so many kids in the neighborhood that go to different schools. There are school buses that run through the neighborhood all morning. So there's always someone watching out, making sure that the kids are safely getting on the bus, safely getting off the bus. People are driving safe to make sure that no one is getting hit by a car. It's just the kids, they really don't know any other way. They've never had any run-ins with the police that were negative. They've never had any run-ins with their neighbors that were negative. They feel very secure. They feel very safe. They know that if there's a situation that they need help and, you know, something happens to my husband or me, they know exactly where to go to get that help.
Well, that's wonderful that you guys have that set up and that the kids feel so connected and safe there. We were wondering, since there is such a community vibe there, who were your local influences growing up? Oh, I'm sorry. We were wondering, since there's such a community, it's so community-driven in St. Louis Place, who your local influences were growing up and who you think that was for your children as well.
A lot of the older and my grandfather, because my grandmother died in 1976, so I really didn't know her that well. But there were ladies who were part of the Ladies Guild of our church that knew her. So they always looked out for me. And the friends of my mom and dad, they looked out for me, and they welcomed my husband into the neighborhood because he is an immigrant. He immigrated here from, actually, he's a refugee. He came here from El Salvador in the 1980s during their civil war. So they welcomed him and made him one of our own. The primary influence in our neighborhood was a man named Willie Dukes, and he was an airport employee, and he was very good friends with my father, but he was retired by the time my husband and I moved back into the neighborhood. So he was always there 7 o'clock in the morning because his daughter worked at a daycare center in the neighborhood, so he'd drop her off and he would just sit in the neighborhood until she got off work, because he'd moved from the neighborhood, but he hadn't moved too far. He lived in Carr Square. So he would just sit in the neighborhood and talk with my husband and tell him about the things that used to happen in the neighborhood and how close people were. And it inspired my husband to be more open and welcoming to people coming back into the neighborhood, letting them know that, you know, they could come and rest and sit and feel safe and have some place to go, even if they had no family here anymore. And maintain vacant lots so people could have somewhere to sit and they didn't have to feel like they were barging on anyone. It was probably between, I would say, 2005 and 2012 that we would have a block party every year and people would return to the neighborhood just to be able to say that they saw it, just even if it was just one day out of the year.
That's really great, and it's great that, I don't know, just the strong relationships you seem to be building with people around you and your husband as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of your fondest memories growing up in the neighborhood?
Well, my brother was married to a young lady whose parents lived across the street from us. So my block, the 2300 block, was primarily family. So on the 4th of July, we would always have 4th of July at our house, and everyone would come over from all over the family. Some family we have lives in Franklin County, lives in Illinois, but everybody would come to our house for the 4th of July because we had so much space. Now, the vacant lots were everywhere, but on the 4th of July, they make a place where everyone could hang out. We had enough room for everybody. That's really the thing that I remember most about living on Malafi. Now we're making new memories. We have the opportunity to build a park across the street from us on Madison and 19th Street, and now that's going to be our new gathering spot. It's called Promise Park. It was part of a plan that hasn't come into fruition yet, but we're still hopeful. There is a former factory that was a lighting manufacturer, and it's also an adjacent vacant lot. The lot was going to be green space, and the factory was going to be ground floor lofts or condos on the second and third floors. So when we found out about that, we contacted the owner, it's private owners, not city owned, and ask if we could create the park and, you know, with the hopes that the building would be developed soon. But we didn't want to wait anymore, so we created a park space.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, mm-hmm. especially bringing new development into St. Louis Place as well. And mm-hmm. I love green space. That's one of the reasons I like St. Louis so much is there's so many, you know, neighborhood parks and city parks and different things like that. So I think that sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. And you're more than welcome to come.
Well, I would love to.
You're more than welcome to come by and have a seat up under the tree. Sometimes there are people over there barbecuing or there's a couple of people that like to be in the park. My husband just installed a horseshoe pit over there, so there's going to be even more activity this summer.
Well, that definitely sounds like a lot of fun. You've definitely described a very community-driven experience there. Can you tell us something that you think is really special about St. Louis Place that maybe other people who are even live in St. Louis as well that they may not know about?
Well, I think that people think of St. Louis Place as like the gateway to Old North St. Louis, and we're not. If you are coming from, like, but that's been taken away so that the soccer stadium can be built. But most people who came from West County would get off on 20th Street, come through St. Louis Place to go to Old North, to go to Crown Candy. We are not Old North Gate. We are an individual neighborhood. We have people who really have a desire to see the neighborhood turn around. And if you ask anyone in neighborhood that's here now. They say they are hopeful that the community will become something that has been promised for decades. So people are doing things that would make the neighborhood more desirable for us. We want our community to be ours. We don't want it to be the NGA neighborhood. We were here before the NGA, and what I always say is that those people will be employees, but we are 24-hour residents. So this is our neighborhood. This is not an NGA's neighborhood. This is not the place where the NGA is coming to. This is where we are, and where hopefully we always will be.
So you're kind of talking more about NGA now, and we were wondering mm-hmm. if you could tell us a bit more about how it's affecting your life and what your reactions to changes in St. Louis due to the new NGA expansion.
Well, the NGA coming here is not something that we want. We don't think that it is going to be a residential neighborhood-friendly space, although there have been many promises that it won't be a fortress. I don't have any hopes that it's going to be welcoming to the people in the neighborhood. It will definitely be off to itself. It's also going to be a, in my opinion, a possible target for, you know, anyone who would like to back the systems that do the spying and the drone work for the government, which is what they are. Because you have to have a high level of clearance and a high level of education. It won't be a place for jobs, like it's been marketed as a possible place where people can get jobs, not in this neighborhood. It's just not something that we wanted. If we had a choice and a say, we would have wanted our neighbors, residents who were, you know, the same socioeconomic background as the people who are already here. We don't want to be priced out by homes that are going to be $500,000, $600,000 to accommodate people who are may or may not want to live here. But we've already seen properties being built that are priced at $300,000, and that's ridiculous because they are what they call zero waste or net zero homes. But they are, we can fit one in our first floor, but they're so overpriced, they're going to cause our property values to go up, and most people won't be able to afford the property taxes. And that could cause people to lose their homes. And all of this is because of the NGA.
That's very unfortunate. It mm-hmm. it sounds like the NGA is kind of looked at very negatively in St. Louis Place, and it sounds like for very good reasons. And it mm-hmm. sounds like you've said your neighbors feel that as well.
People are afraid that they may get priced out of their homes. I mean, even if you own your home, if your property taxes go 3 years without being paid, the city will take it from you.
That's awful. Mm-hmm. Had you and your husband, had you owned your home for longer than that period and still got pushed out, or were you within that period of time?
Well, my parents bought the house in 1963, so the family was in the house for over 50 years.
Gotcha. And it unfortunately doesn't sound
to the city.
Yeah, I was gonna
right.
I was gonna say, unfortunately, it doesn't sound like that made any sort of difference for your family.
No.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. In terms of St. Louis Place as the neighborhood and community, how do you feel like it has remained historically relevant, especially with our current, like, the current society today?
Well, the brick homes are something that most of these homes were built before 1900. So growing up, everything was brick. Malady Street, which is the street I lived on, had brick streets. So brick was not as important to us as the stability of the home because they were brick. But the history of the brick homes and the history of the clay mines and things like that in the city, that was nothing that was ever discussed in the neighborhood. Until recently, maybe early 2000s, there were preservationists that moved into the neighborhood that told people how historically prevalent their homes were compared to, like, Boulevard, Benton Park, Lafayette Square, Hyde Park, you know, some neighborhoods that are known. People didn't even know the name of the neighborhood as St. Louis Place. I don't know how that got away from the community. Like, you know, their identity. I don't know how that happened. But my husband and I, we work really hard to let people know who we are and how important we are to the history of the architecture.
Sheila, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It was quiet, so I think my phone cut out.
Okay.
But we were wondering, too, do you have any stories about St. Louis Place from older friends or relatives that have stuck with you over the years and you think you might pass on to others, even though NGA is coming into the neighborhood?
Oh, yeah. My brothers and sisters were all adults when I was born. So they have a different perspective. My whole existence has been the decline of the neighborhood. So they came into the neighborhood as like 12, 11, and 14. So they saw the neighborhood with eateries and businesses like cleaners and five and dime stores, things that were not here any time in my life. There's never been a place to eat, sit down or otherwise, in my whole existence. We've all had always had to go somewhere. We don't have a grocery store here. So when they talk about the neighborhood that they remember from their youth, their teenage years, their early 20s, it's like a totally different neighborhood. They talk about how there was a pizza parlor here because there was still Italian influence. Even though Italians left, they still had businesses here. There were grocery stores. There were bakeries. There was a community center. That I remember because my mother worked there. It was Monsignor Butler Community Center. The Catholics were the last to pull out of the neighborhood. But there were businesses and other churches in the neighborhood other than St. Bridget. There was St. Leo, and there was St. What's that church over there, Gustavo? St. Laborious. From one neighborhood. There was a bowler. There were bars. Excuse me, there were schools in the neighborhood. None of those things exist anymore.
Does your family still live in St. Louis Place now, or is it just you and your husband, and then your extended family has moved out?
Yeah, just me and my husband. My sisters, one by one, all moved to St. Louis County. Now they want to come back, but the neighborhood is so overpriced. There's nowhere for them to move to.
That's such a shame.
We are hopeful, though. Because there is still a building, still a school building, although the school has been closed. There is a St. Louis Public School building two streets east of here. That's Jackson School, And we're hopeful that that school gets turned into a 50 and up apartment and people are able to come back to the neighborhood to live, not just to visit. I know that my brothers and sisters would like that.
Okay, I was going to ask that next, if that school did get turned into a 50 and older apartment or condo-style living situation, do you think your family would move into the neighborhood then?
Certainly. They'd love it. They'd push for it if they could.
Do you know if there's any sort of plan in place right now for that to happen, or that's more just you guys think that would be a great way to utilize that space and are hopeful that that will actually happen?
There is a website of all the buildings for sale from the St. Louis Public Schools, and that particular school is not available, but it's also not being used, so we don't know what's going on with it. It's not available for sale. But I know that we have a pretty decent relationship with McCormick Barron. They've done a lot of apartment projects over around here. We have the Falstaff Brewery, Preservation Square, and Murphy Park. And they're all under the ownership of McCormick Barron. They would do a great job with that. We have no hope that Paul McKee would do anything. He's done nothing but destroy. So he has first right of refusal in any project in this neighborhood, which is should be a crime. So if anybody wanted to come into this community, even if it's city-owned, they have to put it past Paul McKee first to find out if he wants it. And if he doesn't, then a developer can develop.
That was going to be my question. Why on earth does this one person have total say of what's going on in the neighborhood? So you said the city of St. Louis gave him development rights.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know roughly how long ago that was? Do you know roughly how long ago he was given the developmental rights?
Sometime between 2015 and 2017.
And you said nothing has really been developed since then because of him?
Right.
That's so unfortunate. Well, hopefully this other developer you've mentioned is able to get their hands on the school and turn it into some sort of, you know, apartment or condo living so that the neighborhood can kind of be redeveloped some.
That would be great. Right now there is a urgent care being built on the Pruitt-Igoe site, but it's being marketed as a hospital. But it's not a hospital. It's a 3-bed urgent care that's going to have like an emergency sector. But they won't be able to treat gunshot wounds or deliver babies. So if someone comes in there with a real emergency, they're going to be sent to the closest hospital. The useless piece of crap that he's tricked the city into believing that it's going to be something great.
Sorry, my phone cut out a little bit.
Medicare or Medicaid if they don't want to, because it's going to be a privately owned urgent care. So if people in the neighborhood have private insurance, they'll be able to go. But if they're on Medicare or Medicaid, they won't. This is slippery.
Have there been any community leaders who are trying to fight Paul McKee?
No.
Has it just been really difficult now?
No, they're all in his pocket.
Oh, okay.
The only people that have been trying to fight him are the residents.
Sure.
But it's kind of hard to get that done when your alder persons and the mayor think that he's such a great guy.
Yeah, I'm sure that puts you all in a very tough and uncomfortable situation, especially since
you've
got family that wants to move back into St. Louis Place, and I'm sure you've got other friends and your neighbors have friends and family that want to come back and are being hindered by doing that.
Right.
Is there anything else you would like to add that you feel we might have missed through the conversation we've had so far?
Well, I just want to let anybody know that St. Louis Place is a really great place to live. Nobody other than... Can you hang on 1 second? I'm sorry, my dogs are jumping all over me.
Please of course. Down.
I'm sorry, I have Yorkies, and I just walked through the door. Nobody who doesn't live here knows how family-like, how comfortable, how safe and peaceful the neighborhood is until they come here, and they experience it. And I always tell people, because you guys are not the first that I've spoken to, and just come to the neighborhood, you know, experience it for yourself, and you'll understand why we are still here. People have seen the buildings in disrepair. That's not us. That's Paul McKee. He intentionally did that so that he could get the state to give him money, get the city to give him money, but he's done nothing with the money to repair the properties that he owns. So when we were in the midst of who's going to get the NGA and all that intrigue, they used pictures of Paul McKee's property to say, this is why the NGA needs to come to St. Louis Place. They never took photos of homes that people live in. And it was a shame. And it was total irresponsibility and neglect. There was a young man who was a WashU student, June Bay, and he was an architecture student. And he did his own private documentary on the community and the struggle that we were going through to try to save our neighborhood. If you guys have an opportunity to check that out, it's called Exodus. It's an excellent interpretation of what we were going through at the time. He just made himself a fly on the wall.
Can you repeat the name of the documentary and the student you were talking about again, please?
Exodus. And his name is June, J-U-N, Bae.
Perfect. Thank you very much. My phone cut out a little bit, so I wanted to make sure that we got that on that part of the recording, so we have that, so we can check it out.
He's since moved to Stanford, wherever, Palo Alto. He's in Stanford now. So he graduated from WashU. He did a film festival in our neighborhood to show what he'd done with all the footage that he captured on the same day. And then he moved to California, and now he's in grad school there.
Well, that sounds great for him, for sure, especially given the weather in St. Louis right now.
Exactly. I'm not on social media, but he's on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all that. If you guys want to get in touch with him, he is more than open about talking about what his experiences were here. So please do. Please get in touch with him. He's a really good kid. I call everybody a kid because I'm almost 50 years old, but he's a nice young man.
My mom does the same thing. I think she turned 54 on Thursday, and she calls everybody kid. Even people who are older than her, she calls kid if she thinks they seem younger than her. So I find that endearing.
Right. Everybody seems younger than me, so I call all of you all kids. But I know that you are, you know, you're the way of the future. My son and daughter are 20 and 22 years old. And, you know, I really admire what you guys are doing. You're very outspoken. You're willing to put your life and your livelihood on the line for what is right and just. And we need that because the baby boomers, they did that, and they realized how difficult it was to move on into the next chapter of life. But this is your whole life. It's not in chapters. And you guys realize that. We benefited from everything that the baby boomer generation did for us, and we were quite apoplectic. We didn't understand what we were giving up. But you guys, and I'm sorry we had to leave it in your hands, but you guys are doing a really good job in demanding justice, and I truly appreciate it.
Well, I hope we can do justice for you guys, and, you know, future generations coming forward. Fingers crossed, we will do our best.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Katie, if you don't have any other questions, I think all of mine are answered.
Okay, mine too. Thanks so much for this conversation, Sheila.
You're so welcome. Yes, thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, and we will chat with you later. Have a great day.
Okay, have a good day, and enjoy the
Bye.
Weather. Take
have
care. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.